This is Roland Chidiac Connects, a podcast about motivation and inspiration. Ever wonder what drives people to do what they do? Join me as I connect with a variety of people who have great stories to tell about what inspires them, ignites their passions, and leads them to make a difference in their work and the people around them. Awesome, awesome. I get to talk with Amy Fadeji today. Amy, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Totally. Thanks for having me, Roland.
No problem. So recently, you helped me out big time along with a couple of other administrators in Ontario, actually. So you were my go-to, like, I'm going to call it international.
Totally. We can do that, I guess.
You were my international admin in the United States. But seriously, though, I am taking a principal's qualification course, and we had to choose a topic to talk about, to present to the group. Mm-hmm. And I had my heart set on parent engagement, like big time. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I guess I was talking to somebody when it was time to sign up in the Google Slide, and I looked and I was like, it's gone. Somebody stole it from me. So then I...
That's what you get for talking in class. Hello.
Exactly. So then this is going to be fun for me because I've not spoken to a principal before like this. So it's going to be
fun. Well, I'm not your average principal, so...
Okay. So anyway, I say to the people beside me, I'm like, I've got a backup plan. And they're like, what's your plan? And I'm like, I'm going to do something on being a connected administrator. And they're like... Go for it. So I type my name in the section where like it's like dead man zone, like nobody's typing in there. Yeah. Uh-huh. So I put my name in and I'm like the connected administrator. And then my instructor comes over and he's a great guy. Rod Eckert is his name. And he's a principal here with Waterloo Catholic. And Rod was my principal a few years ago at a school I worked at. So I look at him like, Rod, I just went out on my own and I want to do the connected principal. And he's like, that's awesome. I'm so glad you did that. So I felt better.
No one else was going to do it.
I mean, there could have been some who would have snagged it, but I got it first. Anyway, so then as I'm preparing, I'm thinking about connected administrators, and your name was one of the first that came to my mind.
Oh, that's so nice.
Well, you know what, Amy? You've raised the bar pretty high. So you know what? And like, I'm not surprised, but I am surprised because I don't really know you. I mean, I actually met you face to face.
It's like our 10-year, it's not our 10-year, but it's like our anniversary. This like, they're doing the 10-year celebration right now, you know, for Google Innovator.
I know. I was on Instagram and I saw some of our colleagues from our cohort.
Yeah, totally.
Posting pics and stuff. And it's kind of like, it's bittersweet, right? Because I wish that I could be part of something that's happening, but this is better. I get to chat with somebody from my cohort. So it's awesome.
So that was in 2014, right?
That's right. July 2014.
Yep, exactly.
And I met you face to face before I followed you online, which is pretty cool.
That is fun. Yeah, that is fun. And you know, it's so interesting because like now I run into people and I am very good with like faces and names, but I am having like a problem because I'm like, do I know you from Twitter? Have we met in other conferences? Because I just feel like I'm in the circle where we all know each other and we're sharing the work that we do. And so then I end up feeling like, oh gosh, like where did I first meet you? And when did we first talk? And you know,
I have two things to say about that. The first thing is that it's just because you're just way too big now.
No, okay? It's not that at all. Thank you very much.
You're huge. No, so that's one thing. And then the second, are you kidding me? EdTech team, the Q stuff, like, come on, whatever. I'm lucky you're even talking to me right now.
Oh my gosh, anyway, don't be crazy.
So number one, you're too big. Number two, I think it's okay in today's day and age to say to people like, remind me how I know you.
Where did we first meet? Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
I think so. I mean, times have changed, right? Like in the digital age, we're connecting with people all over the place all the time.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because I felt like bad that I don't remember, but I'm like, honestly, I mean, most people probably like don't remember like where my school is or what I do exactly. And so it's actually, you're kind of giving me the freedom. I'm feeling a little liberated, like I can check in with people a little more, you know?
Right on. No, I do understand what you're saying, because it is kind of embarrassing or whatever. You don't want to say to somebody, hey, remind me how I know you. But at the same time, with LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, it's crazy, right?
Totally.
And I don't know about you, but for me, it's awesome to connect with people and continue learning all the time. So, I mean, I wouldn't feel bad if somebody said to me, hey, Roland, remind me how we connected, because I'll know, you know,
or like what your position is. And that's another thing, is that so many people are in different positions now than when I like first met them, or, you know, their interests have taken them down another path. So, all right, you have me. I'm feeling better. I'm feeling confident. I'm ready.
Right on. Okay. So I meet you and a crew of amazing people in California in 2014.
Yeah.
And like, I, you know what, if there was somebody at the Teacher Academy that was not a nice person, I didn't meet them, because everybody I met was really decent.
Totally.
So you were one of those people, and you were an admin. So it was really cool for me as a classroom teacher to kind of listen to where you're coming from and to see kind of how you've gotten yourself to where you are today. So I'm going to stop talking, and I would really love it if you told us about the work that you do and how you kind of got there.
Yeah, totally. So I'm currently an elementary school principal, and this is my, hard to believe, but this is my fifth year. And I was a teacher for 7 years before that. I went to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, which is here on the Central Coast in California. And then I moved to Mobile, Alabama, and I started teaching ESL there, kindergarten through fifth grade. Then I taught third grade, and then my husband and I moved back to California, and I taught second grade for a few years, and then took the big plunge to the dark side, as you like to call it.
I just call it the dark side because it's kind of fun. I don't know I don't know what it's like where you are in California, but here in Ontario, the teacher unions, a long time ago, principals were part of the teacher union.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. So it was, I can only imagine, like, it would be strange to be in the same union as your administrator. But then the Ontario government, and I, you have to forgive me, I don't know the whole story, but the government was basically like, yeah, we can't have this. So they pulled administrators out of there, and then it was administrators and teachers. And you can imagine,
it just made it feel so separate. And
yeah, like the friction that could come from that situation, right? Yeah,
totally.
So what is it like that where you're from too?
No, I mean, I feel really fortunate to be at the school that I'm at and at the district that I'm at. I mean, I am very aware that there are a lot of teachers who've had poor administrators, and probably like a lot of principals who've had like poor leadership above them too. And, you know, we've all experienced, I think we're all like very good at being critical of people in other positions until we walk in their shoes. And so I remember, like, as a teacher, I was studying my principals. I loved it because I knew I wanted to do that someday. And so I would be watching and saying, ooh, I love how this person did that. Like, I want to make sure I do that. And I kind of used like a lens of, oh, like that didn't feel good, or, oh, this person really dropped the ball on that. I want to make sure that I try to not do that, you know, if I am in that position of leadership at some time. And I have to say that there's been several times where I've thought, oh my gosh, like this is probably why this fell through, or someone didn't follow through on this, because, and I'm not complaining at all. Like, I picked this job and it is the absolute best job in the world. Like, I live for going to school every single day, but I can totally see, like, yeah, it's just hard to keep up with everything. And, you know, like my email this weekend was just totally out of control. And I'm like, I'm sure there's people here that are asking me questions that are super important. And so I realized, you know, I feel every now and then like I let people down. And I go back and think about how, oh gosh, I was maybe a little more critical than I needed to be back then. So I really try to assume positive intent just as much as I can. And so I think for me, the district that we're in, which is Petaluma City Schools, we have 7 elementary schools. And I would say that our principals and our teachers work pretty collaboratively together, like as a whole, from my observation. Now, I'm not sure if there's, you know, there's probably pockets of things that feel different to different people. But overall, I mean, our principals, at least at the elementary level, are pretty hands-on, supportive, you know, so that's kind of my experience.
That's great to hear. I've seen like a lot of your interaction on Twitter with other people, and it's always very positive. And I love seeing the pictures from your school during your school day. Like, it seems like right. You have a lot of fun doing your work.
Yeah, totally. I mean, just after kind of as we're on the teacher admin thought, like, I just worked out with 5 teachers after school, and like, I didn't think a thing about like a difference in, oh, like, I'm your boss. Like, I just don't view it like that. And I hope that they don't see me like that either. And I was friends with one of my principals, Tracy, before. And I used to introduce her as like, this is my principal, Tracy, because I was so happy that she would be at different events that, you know, I was hosting or something. And she would always correct me and say, your friend, Tracy. And now I understand like why she was going down that path, because, you know, just as an educator, I just kind of feel the big teacher at school, and I really appreciate, you know, when I'm looked at as a colleague, and I try not to, you know, have the, like, and I'm saying in air quotes, like, the boss thing going on, you know. And when I have to do that, I do, but I don't know. It's interesting.
You said earlier that you had done some work in Alabama as an ESL teacher.
Yes.
That's wild. I never knew that about you.
Yeah. It's kind of a crazy story how I got to Alabama. My best friend from high school took a job there. And so I went down there for a little bit because I got my teaching credential in December. And I thought, well, who's going to hire me for a teaching job in December? And so I ended up, they had an opening for an ESL teacher. And so I was actually itinerant. I traveled between 2 schools mostly, and I just fell in love with this one school in particular, Hutchins Elementary. And so I begged my principal, Dr. Foster, if he could make a space for me with my own classroom. So that then was the year after that I had my first class of 3rd graders, all 16 of them, which, how awesome was that? 16 students. But ESL was great. Most of the population there was Vietnamese. There's a big shrimping industry in Mobile. And so a lot of my students were from Vietnamese families. So it was really neat to work with them.
Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. See, I just learned that about you. I think that's pretty cool. I can imagine a primary class with only 16 kids. I miss those days. I'm a junior teacher now. Right. And like, my class is just ready to pop. I got 32.
How many?
32 grade 4s and 5s.
Oh my gosh.
But you know what? It's like, it's busy, but it's a cool busy, you know? Yeah. Like, everybody's doing something. Everybody's up to something. So it's pretty neat totally. That way.
Yeah. You got it.
I got it. And my principal is really cool too. So it's easy for me. It's easy for me to do my job when I know I'm supported. Totally. And when I know somebody's got my back. So totally. That's cool too.
Yep.
Tell me, Amy, what motivates and inspires you generally?
Oh, gosh, it's such a huge question. And I feel like it kind of changes from, you know, there's different pieces of my work from time to time. I love being able to work with different, like, people groups. So the fact that I get to pour as much as I can into my students, and then there's this whole, like, this teachers and staff who I just like am in absolute awe of the work that they do every single day, and really feel like it's my responsibility to, you know, champion them and be their number one supporter. And then the parents who entrust their kids with us every single day, and who we love to partner with. And it's so interesting how school's so different now than it was when we were in school, at least hopefully it should be if it's not. And so kind of working with parents around that, you know, is difficult too. And then the community aspect. So like our community partners who are fantastic. So I love, and I think that's really motivating for me in my work, that I get to kind of work with all those different people groups, all those different stakeholders. And like when it comes down to it, my, like the relationships that I have, and that I guess I was going to say with my students, but it's also like the really meaningful relationships with like with staff and parents and community members, you know, together. And so, you know, like I think of a couple, you know, a couple kids just pop to mind right away. And I can't imagine like my life without, or how I'm, you know, imagine my day without getting to see them and be a part of their life. And so I think just having really close relationships with every, with, you know, with all those different groups, but especially with my students, is pretty powerful. So
I was going to say, it's pretty cool to be motivated and inspired in a number of different areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you covered like a lot of the stakeholders in education around the work that you do, and you seem to get something from all of them.
Yeah. I think like they all pour into, and like, you know, I'm making crazy hand gestures, which obviously you can't see, but you know, like if your hands are like open wide and you're like, here are all these people and groups that we need. And then you like pull your hands together, you know, and you're kind of like, it all comes back to the relationships. And so I love that, like, you know, something happens out on the playground and I can text a mom something real quick and I can, you know, shoot a Vox to a teacher. My secretary, who's so freaking amazing, is like helping serve lunch in the cafeteria. Like all those things are happening because we've taken the time to get to know each other and we trust each other and we're in this together, you know? And It just makes like the hard days and the moments, like it's not all, you know, like rainbows and all of that kind of stuff, but it makes those hard times so much better when we're all like connected to each other through that, you know, through that web. So
how long have you been at the school you're currently at?
This is my fifth year at Pengrove. So I stepped straight from out of a second grade classroom, which I loved, into my position at Pengrove. So I was 29 years old when I got hired there.
Wow. And
I know. I used to use the hashtag California's youngest principal, but I recently met a lady at a conference up in Chico, and she said she was hired when she was 28. So I felt totally like a fraud. So yeah, it's been 5 years, or this is the fifth school year.
Okay. And how long do principals typically stay at a school in your district?
So it totally varies. And I think that might be something a little different between our school systems, is that, and every district I'm sure is really different, but in our district, I think it totally depends on the principal's like career ambitions and like how things are running at the school. I know that the woman, Kathy Larson, who retired before me, I believe she was there for 14 years before she retired.
Oh, wow.
So I've heard from several people that like you can make the most impact in about 5 to 7 years. And so, you know, in my head, just because I heard that, I always felt like that was a pretty healthy number. But here, and I even thought, gosh, 5 years in one place, that seems like a long time. But here I am in year five, and I still feel like we have so much work to do, and in a good way, and we're having so much fun. And so lucky for me, I'm not in a district where, you know, people are getting moved around very often without reason, or you know, without there being some pretty big conversations. I'm sure there are places where people are getting shifted around quite often. But that's not the case where I am.
So if you want to move, do you just talk to your superintendent and kind of explain, you know, you'd need a change or you'd like to try something different? Is that how it would work out there?
Yeah. So we had one of our principals, Emily Todd. She's the principal at Grant Elementary, and she was the principal at Kenilworth Junior High for a few years. I'm not sure how long. And she wanted to try something different. She wanted to move into elementary. So she chatted with our HR director, and she ended up moving into an elementary position. So I think as long as there are positions available, that, you know, our assistant superintendent of human resources would be really open to, you know, chatting about what some different scenarios could look like. So
Okay, so you started, you became a principal at the age of 29. And tell me, has it, now I know you love what you do, but have there been some major challenges being a young female in this role?
I think, I mean, I can't tell you how many like comments the first couple years, and even like when we get new students, people will say, "Oh, my principal never looked like that," or "Oh my gosh, you're the principal." And you know, my joke that everyone in the office is probably super tired of hearing is, "Yep, I just have really good eye cream." Like, what else am I gonna say to that, right? So I think that it wasn't too bad. I definitely remember like the first summer that we were posting our class lists, and there was this tradition of you post them at 4 o'clock the day before school starts, and I was all by myself at this like glass case, and I was trying to hang up all these signs, and there literally were like there was like 200 parents behind me with their cell phones out because they're wanting to take pictures of their class lists and all this. And it was just this very like overwhelming moment where I'm like, okay, everyone, like back up, like give me a second, relax. And a couple parents mentioned to me afterwards that they overheard other people being like, oh my gosh, she's so young. And you know, so I heard like stories about that, but and I've definitely had I've had like one conversation in particular where a dad said, well, if you had children of your own, you would probably understand. And, you know, those kinds of things. Luckily, I have pretty thick skin. And to me, that's a super ignorant comment. Like, I'm not claiming to understand what it's like to be a parent, but I do have a really good handle on what's going on, you know, at my school. And I am really close with my students. And so, you know, I just try to, you know, let those things roll off. So it hasn't been anything that I lost sleep over or anything like that.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. Where do you think this thick skin comes from?
Oh gosh, Roland, hard question. I don't know. I think from an early age, I was like pretty independent and I love helping people. And I really appreciate a good challenge. And I mean, I get huge satisfaction from seeing other people excel and like feel proud of their work. And so I think I just put myself in a lot of situations like that. I mean, I used to like when I was little, I took like jazz, tap, and ballet, and I was like asked to be like the TA, the teacher's assistant, and I was in student government. And so I feel like I've, you know, had that outgoing go-getter spirit since an early age. One of my best friends, Nina, her mom is a third grade teacher at this, or was a third grade teacher at the school that I went to elementary school at. And I wasn't in her class, but I was in her next door neighbor's class. And I asked her recently, like, Bonnie, what was I like in elementary school? And she's like, are you kidding? I remember one day at recess, I was on yard duty and I just like handed you my clipboard and was like, Amy, I have to go use the restroom. Like, you're on yard duty. And that I just like lit up and I was like, oh my gosh. So anyway, and I see kids like that in my school now and I think, oh my gosh, I bet I was like that girl or like that boy. So I guess that's I when I believe in something, I'm like all in. And so maybe that's where and I'm not afraid to you know, admit that we're wrong at something or that I didn't handle something correctly. Like I just, you know, shared with a parent today, yep, that should have been handled differently and in a much quicker manner. And I'm sorry about that. And so, I think just trying to stay like true to myself and the reality and, not afraid to ask for help when I need it. Those are kind of some of the lessons I learned early on, I guess, that have been beneficial in this position.
Early on, you mentioned, or I mentioned, that you had helped me with my presentation about being connected administrator, or, you know, there's different names for it, connected digital leader, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But I know that you're connected, you're on social media. How do your parents like that about you, the way that you can leverage that to benefit them?
So as far as I know, like I would say huge, you know, huge majority is that our parents love being able to look into our classrooms during the day. And, you know, all of our teachers are on Twitter, and the usage really varies from classroom to classroom. And I totally get that. And so I think that we have a lot of working families at Pengrove, and a lot of people who want to be involved, want to be connected, want to engage in their child's education, but they can't be there every day, right? So to get to check out our Twitter feed, which also like pushes to the front page of our website and our Facebook pages as well, because honestly, I don't have time to be updating all those things. For them to be able to look in and see like, oh, you guys just had an assembly about such and such. And we really try to shift the conversation at the dining room table and to give parents some details and some specifics to be able to talk with their students about. So I think it's been pretty receptive. This last spring, we did a parent survey, which we always do. And in the comment section, a couple parents, there were like two comments that were negative about social media. And one parent said like, what are you, a bunch of like teeny boppers on Twitter or something like that. And at first I was like, oh, how dare you? And then I was like, you know what? Clearly I did a great job when we first got on Twitter explaining why it was important to us to share our school story. And so when I saw his message, I was like, oh my gosh, I've totally missed. We've had now 2 years of kindergartners that have come through, and any new family, like this year we have 30 new families at Pengrove, like besides the kindergarten class. And I clearly have not explained to them why we have it spray painted on the ground of our school, like follow us at Penn Panthers, right? And so I took that as a moment, a reflective moment to share. And so at back to school night, when I had 400 parents in the multipurpose room, I shared with them, like, this is why we share this story of our school. And I threw some pictures up there on the projector for them to see, you know, our custodian bent over tying the shoe of a 7-year-old and, kids working, like persevering with their problem solving and fighting through. And it's, you know, so once you kind of remind people of why you're doing it, I think that really helps.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's the future. That's what I was telling my colleagues, is that this is the way the world's moving. Mm-hmm. And as educators, education always seems to move too slow for what's happening in society. So right. If we can get a handle on this, and we can, even if some of us don't become administrators, we can be great models for other people. Like when I hear you talk about the purpose behind using Twitter at your school, it makes perfect sense, and you can articulate it so well. And so when people hear that and then see what you're doing, it's just one more model for them. You know, it's one more success story that they can use to help them move forward. Mm-hmm. So I think it's great what you're doing. Yeah. I think, your parent community must be really happy that they have this ability to see into the school when they can't be there.
Right.
I recently was talking to someone about, my son was bringing home work and I was complaining about it, and it was a father-son moment. And it was really neat because my son said something like, well, now you can see what I'm doing at school. So like, you read the newsletter, it says one thing, but then to actually see what you're doing is another. So it made me think, like, I really need to be taking, as a classroom teacher, more photos of the anchor charts we're creating and exactly. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then parents can – oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, that's like the huge win and the goal. Like, you can take tons of cute pictures of kids all day, right? And it still gives you the glimpse. And that's what we use the app Remind a lot to send, like, reminder messages and stuff. And a lot of my teachers use that, which it's great for, like, you know, hey, don't forget, we're on conference schedule. That's like, you know, those are the details of the day. But when a teacher can send a picture of an anchor chart, just like you said, and say, you know, have your student tell you about the main idea of such and such today, that's totally different, right? That's that next layer, like the level that, you know, we'd love to see. So.
Well, that's the layer that allows parents to open up conversations with their children. So I've had parents say to me, thank you for sending that anchor chart out, or for sending like a copy of what the activity was, because then I could just start the conversation and say, hey, you know, I heard that today you were working on such and such. Can you tell me a little bit about it? And then the child is like, well, how do you know? And they're like, well, Mr. Chidiac put it on Twitter. And then all of a sudden, because the kids love the Twitter feed. Like, they love it. And they're getting to the point now where I can start to get them to be tweeters of the week, mm-hmm. and they can kind of be responsible for it.
Yep.
And that ownership, right? Like, they get to curate what's going to go out there. Exactly. And so it's a big responsibility. Totally. And that's a whole other thing. But I mean, there's the power right there. And I think a lot of people don't see that, and they need to, because they're still thinking, you know, oh, you know, there's Mrs. Fadagi telling us, you know, she's at the grocery store or whatever, when really that's not what's going on, you know, or I don't know. Sure. Anyway, long story short, you're a great model. And I never got to finish when I was explaining at the beginning what you did for me. So you gave me some audio via Voxer, and I took that audio and I stuck it into a Google slide with a really nice picture of you and some information on the side. Mm-hmm. And I got to that slide and I just hit play. Mm-hmm. And I just said to my people, I'm like, this is Amy.
Listen,
she's a principal, like, and she's not in her first year, so she has an idea of how to run a school and what she's doing. Mm-hmm. And this is what she has to say. And your approach was, well, just like talking to me right now, like just laid back and like just chilling. And you should have seen the smiles in the room.
Oh,
because they were like, hey, this is a real human talking to us. You know, you weren't, none of the people that left me any audio were really stuffy. Everybody was like, this is what I have to say about being a connected educator in this day and age. And it was like, it was amazing. So thank you, because for me, it helped me grow in that short period of time that I was putting it together. I grew as in my leadership or in my discernment as a leader. Mm-hmm. And other people got to hear straight from you what you do with it and why it's beneficial.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that it was helpful. I kind of feel like I sound like a broken record often. And I'm always like, wait, we're still having to tell people to like tell their school story. Like, it sometimes is baffling, but then you find out about so many people who are like, why would I do that? And I think that's what I shared with you, is that I just feel lucky that when I came into leadership, this was something that I saw. It's actually Chris Kennedy, who's a superintendent in Canada. He's the one who, like, I attended his session at a conference and I totally was like anti-Twitter. Like, why would I want this? And by the end of his session, I totally had goosebumps and I'm like, this is a part of my job title, like, or my job description, you know? And so I just feel like, I don't know, there's so many lessons in it, like the modeling of digital citizenship and the engagement with the community and the, you know, showcasing and supporting and cheerleading for all the great things happening, you know, with your students and your staff and your community. I just, for me, it's like, it's a part of how I lead, and I don't know like how to lead any other way, really, which I'm not saying is a good thing, but I just feel fortunate that when I came into this position, you know, that was something that was caught my eye right away.
Mm-hmm. As you talk about those things, it makes me think about your work as a presenter. So I mentioned earlier that I believe you've done some work for EdTech Team.
Yeah.
Correct?
Love them.
And you do some work for Q as well.
I do. Yep.
Okay. So tell me, like, what do you present on?
So it kind of depends on the event, but I do, of course, like lots of Google tools. And then it's funny, there's several sessions that I do frequently for administrators. That's either like titled Lead Wild or Get Out of Your Office or Mobile Leadership. And like the descriptions of each one are different, but yet I find myself every time I'm presenting to a group of administrators going back to, I'm like, this is the same dang session, like every single time. So I, you know, one of my passions is I can see how you could very easily become a principal who stays in his or her office, responding to email, you know, filing your papers, making sure that reports are in on time, like looking over data. That could very easily happen to, like, me, to someone that has like great intentions and loves what she does. And you have to be so intentional about your time and how you spend it and the people that you're with and when, that I just have kind of taken on this little side project of, if I can just help a couple administrators, you know, if I can connect with a few principals, a superintendent here or there, and help them to kind of get their workflow set up differently and to calendar things a little bit differently so that they can be out of their offices and in classrooms and not just present with students, but like deeply engaged, you know. That kind of is what like fueled me to get into presenting, and it all happened just very like organically and naturally, which was great. I didn't like set out to, you know, be like presenting all over the place, but I've had the opportunity to do a couple keynotes, which has been really fun and totally scary. And quite honestly, I shared with my whole staff, like, I did not want to do a keynote, and I did not even know how I would fill like 50 minutes of time. And like, I totally was just resisting it, and I felt myself not wanting to do it. And I was like, you know what? That's why I should do it. Like, it doesn't feel natural. It doesn't feel easy. And that's what we ask of kids every single day. We're asking them to learn new things, to try new skills, to take a risk. And I'm like, if I can't do that, like, from, you know, for my students, for my teachers, for our community, and, you know, anyone else who will listen, like the poor people, then like, you know, like, what does that say about me as a leader? And so that was like probably one of the biggest, like most humbling experiences that I've had. I was like scared to death, and I, you know, still have lots of things that I can improve in my speaking and talking. I know that I say like way too much, and so it's great. Like, everyone's working on something. And so that was a really neat process for me.
I totally was stuck on wanting to know what your keynotes were about until you said that you were scared to death to do a keynote. And then you thought, that's why I should do a keynote. Mm-hmm. And I wrote down here, it's right on my paper, it says wild, and there's exclamation marks all over it. That is awesome. So I love the way that you put it, that you were so scared.
Yeah, totally.
You were so not wanting to do it, yep, that you're like, this is why I should do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was hard. I mean, I really wrestled with it and, you know, talked with some close friends, and I think, you know, what I did is I just tried to like tell stories about students and things that I'm passionate about. And I think it came out all right. So
can you tell me or us what one of your keynote titles was?
Yeah. So I've only done, I only have like one keynote so far. See, okay. I just said the word like again. and I think I've only done it, I've maybe two or three times, but it's called Belief, the Power of Belief.
And
and I kind of capture, I talk a lot about magical moments, which is what I call them, and, you know, use some pictures from magical things that have happened on our campus, and I talk about how strong that power of belief is, and I think that we just take it for granted, but I talk about how we have to believe in ourselves, and we have to believe in our team, and then when those things are happening, then it lets us be our best selves to believe in our students. And so those are kind of, that's kind of the, you know, the skeleton of it.
Okay. Okay. That brings,
why are you laughing at me, Roland?
I'm not laughing at you. Trust me. I'm not laughing at you. I'm in awe at the moment.
Whatever.
What? I'm serious. Oh, like, yeah. You know, the cool thing about doing a podcast is that I get to talk to people I want to talk to. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that you're talking to me, and I'm enjoying listening to you explain these things. And totally, I'm stuck on that feeling, because I know that feeling when you're scared to death to do something that somebody's asked you to do, or somebody's kind of nudged you in a direction. You're like, no, this doesn't feel right. Then all of a sudden it's like, it just, the tables turn, right, and you're like, I'm doing this and I'm going to own this. Yeah. I'm going to make this good.
Yep.
And so you say that, and it's like, you know, I feel like, oh, you know, if that's how Amy feels, I'm sure other people feel that way too. Mm-hmm. But I want to go, I want to keep moving because I know you have plans tonight.
Yeah, I got that, Jay Durb coming over to make some dinner.
Right. I wasn't going to go there though. I was going to say that you're going to hang with someone and prepare what you're going to do to make America glitter again. Oh,
that's right. I know. So I have to tell you that I was really sad. So Jenny, this is my best friend, everyone, for those of you who don't know. Jenny and I work at separate schools. And so for Halloween, I kind of wanted us to be like make America glitter, sparkle again. But we were at different schools and I thought it would be weird if we weren't together. So we couldn't make it happen. But I can tell you on the eve of election night, I kind of wishing I would have thrown my name in the ring.
I don't know the whole story about Make America Glitter Again. All I know is Brian Briggs, yep. I love Brian. He helped me jump into the podcasting thing.
Oh, he's so awesome.
And he is amazing, and I want to talk to him on the podcast, but he's being slippery. He's not helping me with that. Anyway, so then one day on one of the social media sites, he made up like a meme or something about you. Vote for Amy. She's going to make America glitter again.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy cow. And then your best friend, Jenny Durby, who I don't know, but I feel like Jen's my spirit animal,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I think so.
So I've never met her, but she's your VP to make America glitter again. And it's just like, talk about giving me laughter in the middle of my crazy days.
It's so fun.
I love you, California people. But anyway,
we're crazy, crazy bunch.
Okay. So you're at these, conferences, you're mm-hmm. at these summits and learning days and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So what do you do, Amy, if somebody comes up to you and they start chatting with you about your session or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And they basically tell you they have no motivation, they don't feel inspired at all, mm-hmm. and they're looking at you and they're like, Amy, what can you tell me to help me find motivation to get inspired? What would you say to them?
Oh, that's a hard question. Well, it's actually like what a lot of my session is about. And so like, hopefully, like when I talk to them, I'm like sharing, like, look at what happens when you bring fun into school. And so I think that I would tell them, you know what, like you need to commit to being in classrooms and at recess and in passing periods and out on your campus, like as much as you can for the next week. And yep, you're going to be staying up late doing your emails and all that other stuff that's really not that important, but you need to be like where the people are. And I just like don't see how that energy couldn't be motivating to a person if they were really looking for a shift. And so I think, you know, my biggest suggestion would be really to look at how your time is spent, because if I'm not careful, like, and this happens totally, like, I mean, I have a lot of goals for myself, but there will be days where I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what did I do today? I just let all these other things take me down these different roads. And so I think I would like try to, you know, empower them and motivate them by saying, like, you set the tone at your school. You are in charge of your time. You, like, what do you really value? What's meaningful to you? Because look at your day and how you're spending it. And is that really, you know, when I ask administrators all the time, like we do a little Padlet activity and it's like, what are the best parts of your job? What are the worst parts of your job? And what do you want more of? And what do you want less of? And everyone says, I want more time with kids. I want more time supporting teachers. And so I just kind of have like a no excuses attitude about that. If that's what you really want, then what are you going to do to make that happen? Because it's not going to come to you. You're not going to randomly want, you're never, ever, you know, this as a teacher, your to-do list is never going to be done. Like, newsflash. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? Right. And so we spend the time doing the things that are important to us. And so I mean, I would hope that, you know, some conversation like that, you know, just leading a discussion and a chat around those things would be meaningful.
Very good. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Sure.
If people want to connect with you, how can they do that?
So Twitter, I'm a total Twitter junkie. So my handle's at Mrs. Fidagi. And then, oh my gosh, Roland, I love blogging. Like, I love writing. And I just have not, like, I have not made it a priority. in the last few months at all. So I do have a blog, which I think is blogspot.com, or like, I don't know, it's Mrs. Fadagi blogspot or something like that. You can tell how often I go to it. And then my email is just Amy Fadagi, which is spelled F-A-D-E-J-I @gmail.com.
Right on. I'll make sure in the blog notes that we put the name of your blog. So that it's not just like
mrsfadagi.blogspot.com. I think
that's but I can see it now. Some of my listeners will be like, oh my God, what I'm gonna Google I think it's at that's Mrs. So Fadagi, you know. So and they're gonna be like, I can't find it. Google can't help me find it.
I'm sure everyone will be just hot off the press to do that. I also it's more way more fun to follow our school than me personally, probably. So our school Twitter handle's at Penn Panthers.
Cool. That's cool because people need to see what you're pumping out there, right? Like, what is this content that is so amazing that people need to see and people need to follow in how they work the Twitter accounts of their schools? I think it's great. So listen, I am really appreciative that you did this with me today. You've always been so helpful, and I really do appreciate it. I am your elder, though, so I feel like I'm like, she's like 10 years younger than me, so whatever, you know?
Start calling you like Uncle Roland. whatever you need there.
If you win the election tomorrow, you can call me whatever you want.
Yeah, you're going to be on my cabinet if I win the election. Are you kidding
me? Oh, that'd be sweet. Right? Like international affairs or something.
Hello.
I hope that you have an amazing evening with Jenny.
Thank you so much.
You have to tell her I said hello.
I totally will. She'll be jealous.
Yeah, right. Anyway, so, and like, holy cow, I'm so glad we got to do this. I love this ability to connect with people and to just chat. Like, I was talking to my friend Chris Clough the other day. I met Chris recently at this, like, one-day conference we attended. Other than that, I had only known him on Twitter, and he's an amazing educator. Mm-hmm. Can you believe it? He's a teacher in a program where he works with students who have been suspended or expelled from school.
Oh my gosh, that's so awesome.
So he's like the last line of defense in education.
Wow, that's so cool. Wow, that's amazing.
So Chris and I were talking and oh my God, I just lost my train of thought. I have no idea where I was going to go with that.
Oh, you were talking, well, maybe just about how we're like so lucky that we can connect with different people that are doing different things. I'm not sure.
Okay. No, that's right. So because there's no video,
just act like that's where you were going.
No, it's all good. Because there's no video here, mm-hmm. it's different. Like, it's just different. Like, if I was having a hangout with you, I'd probably be sitting up straight and mm-hmm. whatever. But because we're chatting, it's just audio. It's like totally chill.
Yeah, totally. It is. It's nice. It's awesome. I have to admit that I didn't know that you did a podcast before we were chatting about Boxer and being connected and all of that. So I'm super excited to listen to some others that you've done. And I think it's, you know, a lot of people have commutes and want to keep learning. And so I think it's a really awesome thing that you're doing. So keep it up.
Right on. Well, thanks for saying that. It's my way of giving back in a way, and it's my way of continuing to grow in a particular way. So, and it's a lot of fun. I love it. It's so cool that I can chat with anybody who's open to sitting down with me. I'm at my place, they're wherever they are, and we're just chatting. It's all good.
Awesome. Well, if you need help getting any other peeps on here, you let me know, and I'll like, if Briggs is not responding to you, I will personally drive to Sacramento and hurt him. So don't worry.
Oh my God. Okay, let me consider that.
Okay.
God, you're now my godmother. Anyway.
Perfect.
Okay, so enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thanks, Roland. Great to talk to you.
Same here. When this is done, I'll hit you up and I'll let you know.
Sounds awesome. All right.